Now Andy's gone to battle now against Drought, the Red Marauder. Our Andy's gone with cattle now across the Queensland border. He's left us in dejection now, our hearts.
Regional Queensland and its characters feed deeply into the psyche of our state, and few hold as much nostalgia than the drover. What happens though when we learn that many of our existing agricultural practices are threatening our planet? We spoke with Dr. Margaret Jewell, Program Director of the Australian Beef Sustainability Framework at the Australian Meat and Livestock Association, who highlights how practices that began back when Australia was first colonised have contributed to environmental degradation and climate change.
This caused overgrazing of the pasture species that naturally grew in Australia, and also some of the species that they tried to bring in and grow here as well, and had negative impacts on soil health, water holding capacity, biodiversity, and many other aspects of the environment.
The livestock industry significantly contributes to climate-altering greenhouse gas emissions, and paradoxically, the industry is one of the most susceptible to the effects of climate change. Here's what Dr. Jewell had to say about the impact of climate change on the industry.
Cattle industry is still rebuilding the national herd after a huge destocking that needed to occur as a result of the 2018-2019 drought. And then we've had the most recent natural disaster in the floods in eastern Australia.
The exponential effects of farming is forcing the livestock industry to make constant changes, changes to both adapt to and mitigate climate change.
At MLA, we do a lot of work investigating pasture species that can improve nutrition and growth rates for livestock, but also that has benefits in terms of reducing methane production. Climate change has got impacts on economies and markets and communities and social matters, and all of that impacts red meat production.
Along with these anticipated challenges, particular to the livestock industry in Queensland, impacts are projected to be global and felt at every stage of the supply chain. From local availability of usable land, feed and water, through to global economic forces. All of this is projected for a time when global demand for food will increase. Dr. Jewell explains how the industry at large is achieving targets sooner than anticipated.
We've got our Australian Beef Sustainability Framework that defines what sustainable beef production looks like in practice. We have one of the most ambitious emissions reduction targets of any industry in the world with our CN30 target.
Reading from Food Frontier 2020, Western countries are urged to reduce their meat consumption and reliance on industrial animal agriculture. Big businesses, shareholders, media, and the general public are taking notice. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, and other world-leading authorities stress that substantially increasing production and consumption of plant proteins globally is essential. Even though there is international pressure to change our meat-eating habits, according to MLA, Australian consumer behaviour indicates that meat demand is still strong.
We do surveys and collect a lot of insights, and we know that beef was on the menu in over 90% of Australian households in 2020.
While plant-based meat is commanding widespread attention as the most immediate commercial opportunity in alternative proteins, across the globe, the cellular and lab-grown meat industries are emerging as exciting, innovative concepts. One of these is Vow, based in Sydney. In his University of Melbourne Future of Animal-Free Meat public webinar with Dr. Bianca Lee, Dr. James Ryle, Chief Science Officer at Vow, discusses the importance of this product.
Modern animal agriculture currently is a major contributor to climate change, antibiotic resistance, human disease, and of course, animals end up suffering. Cultured meat is meat. This is based upon animal muscle cells. So what we are producing is indeed meat.
Environmental issues and their solutions are complex and must be framed in a way that transforms the narrative around existing values, Challenges surrounding communicating these topics include negotiating political manipulation, communicating scientific and environmental information to a diverse audience, avoiding polarisation of stakeholders, and finally, in a way that promotes sustainable opportunities and innovation. Peter Verstraete, the COO of Moosa Meats in the Netherlands, explains how through different mediums we can foster political, industrial, and societal engagement in innovation.
You know, then a couple of those guys start working on it, replacing it with something totally different. It has a bit of a Star Trek kind of, it's interesting to write about. And journalists did that regularly. Some of those publications were picked up by Brin, one of the founders of Google. And they came to us in 2010-11, and they said, this is a great idea, we want to help you. We think you should not show visuals of white coats and bubbly fluids and labs. That's not what people associate with meat. They funded an event in London in 2013 where we cooked one of the three burgers that we produced, and it was eaten by a couple of people. And this produced a lot of publicity.
Peter also points out how cultured meat has at times become a matter of politics.
The technology and its implications had become something of a political thing as well. Yeah, there's obviously a big industry that's affected by this potentially in the next decades. Things were not as neutral as they were before.
When communicating new ideas, it is essential they be promoted on their own merit without pitting new ideas against old practices.
The way meat produced today is not going to be sustainable. When the products are gradually starting to become accepted, it's an inevitable change. But it's not a debate that's useful today because it only polarizes the situation. We're not going to be able to replace half of the meat demand. Generally speaking, the industry considers this to be something that can coexist.
Dr. Ryle from VAL agrees that cultivated meat is not the enemy of the current cultural industry.
Cultivated meat is definitely not an immediate competitor to traditional meat. This is not going to impact agricultural development in any way in the next couple of years.
Whether at a personal or commercial level, the experience of climate change and its solutions are unique. Introducing ideas into the public sphere and asking for consumer participation and feedback is always beneficial.
There have been many surveys asking people what their position is towards this technology. There was one in Florida where people were asked, would you try this product when it comes to the market? And on the other hand, do you consider this to be a natural product? The outcome was that 50-60%, I would give this a try because it's great solutions. At the same time, overwhelmingly, the answer to the question, do you think it's natural, was no.
Moving forward, we need to find our new modern and relevant icons as we confront what will be one of the new millennium's greatest challenges. Like our beloved drover, transformation and those that drive it deserve to be framed as the champion.
Who now shall wear the cheerful face in times when things are slackest? And who shall whistle round the place when fortune frowns her blackest?